we focus on gifting C-suite executives, professional athletes, collegiate athletes, celebrities, et cetera. We're not the person that you go to if you need a promotional item, foam fingers, pens, not really our forte. Instead, we focus on that upper echelon of client. So if you are looking to enhance and elevate your gift giving experience to where you really make it about each recipient, that's where we shine. We hyper-personalize things at scale. And as a result, it really kind of turns a standard gifting moment into something that resonates with the recipient and gives that wow moment when they're doing the unboxing.
Welcome back to Planet Odoo. We have Francis, the Vice President of Operations at Birdie Box, in the studio today. With locations in Texas, Florida, and Illinois, their growth in operations and technical feats has made them the leading B2B gift-giving company. They have been using Odoo since 2021 and have built a highly efficient blend of Odoo Studio customizations and API connections, along with their 20-plus Odoo apps. They have cited Odoo as a huge part of their ability to scale. After a record-setting year in 2022, Birdie Box continues to focus on distribution and scalability while still maintaining the levels of personalization and customer service that makes them one of a kind. Their mission? Making the ordinary extraordinary by showing gratitude and emotional intelligence through the creation of personalized experiences. Let's see how Odoo plays a small part in their massive success. Hi, Francis, and welcome to Odoo. We are here today in the Buffalo studio with Francis from Birdie Box, the corporate gift-giving company. And we are going to dive in today and find out all there is to know about this Odoo client. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, you traveled all this way, so can you tell us where you traveled from to be here today?
Sure. I came from Dallas, Texas, specifically Frisco, which is north of Dallas. We are headquartered out of Miami and also out of Dallas. We're kind of co-headquartered out of each place. We're at the Star. Cowboys are our landlord, so go Cowboys. I feel like I have to say that on record for sure. But yeah, I came here from Dallas and happy to be here.
Okay. And do you travel between those two offices regularly?
I do. So I have a director of ops. She and I travel back and forth between our distribution center in Miami, Florida, and Texas, just to kind of keep eyes on the operation and ensure, you know, all trains are on the tracks at all time.
So how does someone become VP of operations for a company like this? And what was kind of the path that you took?
It's a very good question, and it's a funny and interesting answer. My degree is in music business, so I'm actually quite comfortable in the studio. So my degree is in music business, and over time, I've stepped away from that. I fell into the 2008, you know, the whole world changed, basically. I fell into that 2008 layoff scenario, and that led me to kind of evaluate what it is that I was really interested in. Over time, I got into client services, so I've worked for multiple companies where that was a focus. When our CRO texted me and said, do you want to join? I started off doing exactly what I had been doing, which is essentially client services. And over time, because I work with incredible people who take a chance on me, quite frankly, we were struggling to find ways to scale our business and to protect that hyper-personalization aspect. So at the time, our COO was identifying the platform, looped me in very early. And then when he exited the company a few months later, for better or for worse, I took over the project with Odoo and helped build it out. And what that did is it opened up, it unlocked rather, the joy and fun that I have on the operation side that I never realized existed. So from that point on, and I had a few promotions before that, that's where I sat down with them and said, I think this is something I'm really interested in. I'd like to give it a try. And they said yes.
Wow.
And here I am.
Well, there we go. Well, and it's nice when you work for a small small to medium-sized company, but one that really values the value in people. And that is
Correct.
Something that we like to do in our offices as well, mm-hmm. And kind of pull that value from people. Okay, as VP of Operations for Birdie Box, could you please tell me a little bit more about this company and how you came to Odoo?
Awesome. So we're a luxury gifting provider. What that means is we focus on gifting C-suite executives, professional athletes, collegiate athletes, celebrities, et cetera. We're not the person that you go to if you need a promotional item, foam fingers, pens, not really our forte. Instead, we focus on that upper echelon of client. So if you are looking to enhance and elevate your gift-giving experience to where you really make it about each recipient, that's where we shine. We hyper-personalize things at scale. And as a result, it really kind of turns a standard gifting moment into something that resonates with the recipient and gives that wow moment when they're doing the unboxing.
Okay. And VP of operations, what does that kind of look like on the day-to-day?
Yeah. So I handle everything post-sale from that moment on. So getting the information into Odoo and using that information to ensure that things are decorated correctly. We're doing the most efficient things that we can do possible in order to get the gift out the door to the recipient on time.
So let's kind of get into, we've been talking about obviously up here in the cloud, but down in the offices. So Miami and Frisco, what do those two locations look like? How many employees do you have? You know, how fast are you growing and stuff like that?
Yeah, so we've been incredibly blessed that the company has both grown in size and revenue almost double year over year since 2018. It's a very exciting time for us as a company. We have a little over 50 employees in total. About half of those are with our warehouse team. The other half are front office employees. Most of those people work out of the Frisco area. We have some remote, and we just opened a Chicago Experience Center as well. We're doing a grand opening at the end of September, so we're really excited about that.
Oh, wow. So what is hyper-personalization kind of look like?
Yeah, so it's a fun word that we've kind of coined over time. What it means specifically is the gift is specific for the person. So it's not something that we recommend, you know, a company necessarily say, I want to throw my logo on these three items and ship it out. That becomes a promotional item for that company. Instead, we want to meet the recipient where they're at. So in the sales process, we really dive into tell us more about your recipient, not just demographics and what their titles are in terms of gifting, but what makes them tick? What do they love? What are they interested in? And we reverse engineer that process back into creating a gift set or a series of gift sets that resonate with each individual. The hyper-personalization comes in where we'll put someone's initials or their children's name or their dog's face, whatever it might be, we're going to make that gift truly for them. So when they open the gift, it has their information on it as opposed to something for the company. So it really feels like it's a gift for them versus a promo item for the company.
Wow. And where did this idea kind of come from?
It came out of a golf tournament. So Birdie Box started, hence the name, as a golf subscription service, similar to like a FabFitFun.
Okay.
And in that process, it was a few years in, there was a golf tournament that that our CEO was at. And one of the recipients of the gifts approached him and said, hey, I kind of want to do this for my company. Can you just put me together a package where I ship it out to each person on our company, you know, using golf items, et cetera? And that's where in 2018, it flipped from golf subscription into luxury corporate gifting. It was, quite frankly, an easier way to do things versus the subscription of clothing and golf,
right,
et cetera. And we realized through happy accidents that being in that golf space and gifting those high-end C-suite executives that were in these tournaments, that was leading to corporate gifting.
Okay. And so this started back in 2018.
2014, technically, for the company. 2018, it flipped to B2B.
Okay. And at what point did you kind of enter the company?
2019. So
okay.
Our chief revenue officer, Chrissy, she is a dear friend of mine, and tapped me one Friday afternoon and said, what are you doing? I'd love to bring you on board. And I've been with the company ever since. It was a very easy and answer to join. And I started as her account management. And over the last 4 years, I've worked my way into overseeing our operation.
Wow. Okay. So then when did Odoo enter the conversation, the company?
Yeah, so it was early 21.
Okay.
We were using Salesforce, which we still do and we love, as our CRM. But we were using a combination of Salesforce and Trello, which is like a Kanban view of a project management tool. And it was working great. But when it came to getting a holistic view of the business, we were craving more.
Okay.
So we interviewed with a couple of different companies and we landed on Odoo based off the ability to customize the platform to what we do, because what we do is so unique.
Now, when you were kind of tackling the implementation process, is that something that you were very hands-on with, or is that something that you kind of had us take the wheel of, and how did you kind of attack that process?
Yeah, we started off implementing our merchandising team first, and we stepped into it from there. So it went with merchandising. So all of our vendor information went in first and our purchase orders started in Odoo. We moved our client services and all order entry at around May of 21. And it took us about, I would say, 8 months in order to get us to a place where we understood kind of how Odoo worked. Having never worked in an ERP before and being a small company that's nimble, we did things that we didn't realize were going to break other things later. So we were hypersensitive to what we do today to ensure that we don't fall into that again. We went through a couple of implementation partners because we were so unique in the beginning of what's going to make the most sense for us. And we were relatively happy with what we ended up with before we brought in an outside dev team to help us build it out even further.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful. What do you think kind of from starting in 2014 and then expanding in 2018, what are some kind of inventory management things or logistics things that have kind of changed significantly since the company has grown?
Great question. I would say the inventory piece, we were tracking inventory through Salesforce. And while that was working, it was the visibility into where things sat in our warehouse. So we knew what was under our roof. Mm. We didn't know where it actually sat in that process.
Okay.
So from an inventory perspective, yes, that was helpful. But really where we found the value was how many things do I have on my printing line? How many things do I have on my etching line, my embroidery line, my kitting line, et cetera? So when a client came to us and said, I need to send out 2,000 gifts and I need to do that in 2 weeks, we can very easily look at our pipeline and say, yes, we can do that. And we could do that within that time frame, no problem. Before we could still do it, it just took us hours to even figure out how to get there.
Oh, wow. So now when you have an order of like 2,000 different, you know, gifts or boxes, is this something that you're connecting with machinery to Odoo, or are these people doing it? How does that kind of process happen?
Odoo drives all of it for us. So it's exciting to watch it happen. We've customized the sales module to where we can upload that information very easily. And it also directly integrates with our e-commerce store, which we run on Shopify.
Okay.
So we have direct integration between those two pieces. Or our account management team can receive a list that has 10,000 people on it. We have a program that we're doing in the next few months where one has 16,000 pieces, another one has 40,000 pieces. And we could very easily say yes to that because Odoo allows for that flexibility to the point where we upload a spreadsheet to Odoo. And based on the customizations that we've done, all of the personalization that's involved with those orders is uploaded with it.
Wow.
So the manual labor of entering an order is removed. And our team on the floor has a very clear understanding of what it is they need to decorate and when it needs to go out the door.
Wow. Woo! I've done a couple of, sales and implementation things in my day, and I've never seen the kind of end goal of having that much customization and how mm-hmm. it works. That's really cool. So what are kind of the main challenges or difficulties that you may come into when... with the process that you have, or maybe not the process that you have, but an inventory management process, trying to do what you guys do, what are some of the kind of the challenges you may face?
I would say solving the initial problems, it almost entirely removed our fulfillment errors. So once we got up and running and had our customization in place, we realized that we had some process problems that we had never even realized were issues before. We thought it was over here and it was really something, you know, over here. And Odoo gave us visibility into that to allow us to see where the breakdown in process was. And once we noticed that, we quickly made adjustments. And it took our error rate literally from, I want to say it was like in the mid-30s, and it took it down to 7%. So for us, that's 7% still high, right? But if you look at historically, you know, how things have gone, we were pretty proud of that. Right now, we're sitting at about a 2%, like 1.9 something error rate. So it's helped us with mitigating errors just in general and has helped us scale exponentially to the point where if someone comes to us and says, I have 45,000 pieces I need to ship out with personalized information, we can say, yeah, no problem. Send it to us.
And then you said luxury gift giving. So you're making connections with luxury brands as a way to create this very special package.
Correct.
How does that process kind of work? And obviously, since you were new to it, how did it, what did you find interesting with kind of creating those relationships?
Yeah. So oddly enough, our merchandising team is the team that uses Odoo most natively. We've done very little customization to the purchasing model. So it does what we need for it to do. We have relationships with over 450 luxury brands around the world. So whether you want to get something from the newest, latest, greatest tech, we can get that for you, or we're going to go forge that relationship anyways because it's going to make the most sense.
Right.
How we use Odoo in that process is we use it to track all of our vendor relationships. We track where our margin is for the sale. That's how we make our money. We're going to track the lead time that you guys already incorporate into that platform. And then we're going to provide that all back to our sales team. So as we forge a new relationship with a vendor, we're able to map that back into Salesforce for our sales team and our account management team, who lives almost exclusively in Odoo. Everybody has visibility into that information. So when someone comes to them and says, I really want, you know, bone conducting earbuds in my gift this year, we can say, great, I have five vendors that can do that. What's your lead time? And then that'll dictate what vendor we use.
Wow. So, all right. So we're talking about tons of customizations and learning the software so well to obviously be able to do something like this at this scale. So when you're looking for a software that has these capabilities, what are kind of the main things in your mind when going into those conversations and looking at softwares? Our last episode was with our mid-market team. So we spoke with someone about their process from beginning to end, kind of on Odoo's end. And he was telling us, you know, what he kind of expects when people come into the conversation from your side. So I'm curious, kind of, how do you come into the conversation and say, like, this is what we need and this is what I know I need, and then kind of learn what else you may need along the way?
We really look for two different things. One, the ability to customize the way that we need it. So flexibility within the code itself, or flexibility within the API. I think those are two really important things for the tech side of things. On the opposite side of that, though, it's finding a partner who's flexible and creative and solutions to work with us. We are likely coming up with a unique solution or idea that hasn't been done before, not because we're overly intelligent in that. It's just because our business has always dictated we have to find a creative way to make something work within that platform. So when we're looking for new technologies to work with, flexibility is key. That's flexibility in both the code, the API, and flexibility with the partner team.
Cool. And what are some of the coolest projects that you've seen kind of come out since your time with Birdie Box?
There's been so many. We can do truly custom pieces where we've had a sports team that has sent us the benches from a stadium that they were redoing for baseball.
Oh, wow.
And we took that and inlaid it into a cheese board. So it took something that was a very practical item and added a really commemorative component to it. The cost of that was very relatively nominal, but when you're a true fan of that particular sports team, that's going to stick with you forever. You put their name on it, that's now a one-of-a-kind piece just for them. So those kind of projects are a lot of fun because we get to be really creative. And then where I find joy is in those really large-scale projects that have that personalization factor. That's really our bread and butter. If we can drop ship something to each recipient and we can personalize it on top of that, we win all day, every day.
Oh, so there seems to be a large customer interactive part of all of this. Like you said, being able to backtrack and get that information from them to build out this special gift or having them send you some kind of piece. So that customer aspect, how does that kind of relationship work? And do you have a team dedicated to that? And how does that kind of process flow?
Of course. Great questions. And it's something our customers ask, right? They're like, I have a list of people and I think I know a little bit about them. So what do I do? That's where we start to learn more about our client specifically. So let's say our client was Odoo. We're going to start with, tell us a little bit about the company. Tell us how long you've been around. Tell us what's important to you as a company. What is it that you want your employees to feel when they receive a gift? Is it onboarding gifts, so you want them to feel welcomed? Is it an appreciation gift, or is it client prospecting? Whatever that gift giving moment is, that's where we start. We then layer in the core values of the company. Are you guys heavy on sustainability? Are you forward thinking and really want to push innovation? That helps us all get to a place where we understand the reason for the gift. Now we use our business intelligence team to say, hey, have we had any crossover gifting with people that are on your list of people you want to give? And if so, we can then proactively say, historically, they've selected these gifts when given the option.
Mm.
So again, with flexibility, we can do anything from a digital gift suite, as we call it, which is essentially an e-commerce store where recipients can go in and choose a gift that they want, or do a surprise and delight, or even set up a physical gift suite, which is just our digital gift suite with a physical aspect to it. So when you talk about getting to the core reason of what it is, product is almost always the last thing we talk about because we really want to understand why you're giving the gift. And when you get into the recipient aspect, that's where we bring in our business intelligence team to say, all right, historically and according to the demographics and clients that look like you, this is the data behind what we recommend. So you may think everybody wants a t-shirt and a hat, right? But the data says that when given the choice, they really choose headphones.
Or a Yeti.
So those are, that's where we bring data into it. At the end of the day, it's up to our client what they want to give, and we're happy to oblige. But when you come armed with data and then you add that emotional intelligence layer on top of it, again, we win
all the
time. Wow, that
is really different. I've never heard of a business intelligence team. Mm-hmm. And do you have competitors directly in your area, or do you kind of see those in a more national scale?
So we don't have any true competitors one-to-one.
Understood.
We do kind of pieces of what other people do, but we do it all under one roof. So if somebody is already using a company that they really love for their digital piece, maybe that's, you know, a company who builds websites very well, but the execution is where they need help, we can step in and help with that piece of it. Same as the front end, and they want to hook into the back end, right? We want to play well with the sandbox, or, you know, within the sandbox with everyone. So we haven't found a direct competitor that can do what we can do using the personalization at scale that we do. It would be great if we had one. It really would, because it just pushes everybody to be better.
Right.
But for the most part, we find that the people that we work with are all over the country. But Dallas and Chicago is where we see the most of it. And that's why we have our experience centers where we do.
We hear some rumblings about robots being used in your warehouse in the future. What's that all about?
Word gets out fast.
Yeah. Our team is very interested to know.
No, you're all good. You're all good. We are looking to expand into a larger space at some point in the near future. When that happens, what we're excited about is how do we take everything even further, right? So as we scale, how do we find the most efficient machines? How do we find the most efficient way for those machines to operate? So in 24, we expect to start to really dip our toe into machine learning, connecting Odoo directly to those machines 100% to where it becomes a call and response aspect of load 12 tumblers to machine 2 and hit go. And all of our artwork, which is automated on the back end already, pulls into the machines and just runs at that point. Where the robotic arms come in, though, is we have a machine that is incredibly efficient. And I'll give them a shout out. It's called a radiant etching machine. And there's a piece that we put in there where it'll do 10 pieces at a time in the time that it was taking us to do half of one on some of our other machines that we were doing. So the efficiency was insane. It was easily over 10x for what we typically were doing. My team was absolutely brilliant in figuring out how to hack, for lack of a better way of saying it, their system to where when they send the artwork in, we can personalize. So now we're doing different initials. It takes about 3 seconds to do each initial on a piece of drinkware, a Yeti, for example. And with that, I noticed very quickly I was trading efficiencies. So I had one person that was standing there loading and unloading that machine because it was moving so fast. So where we expect to see the first robotics of any kind within our warehouse is associated with that machine where it's loading and unloading. But eventually, we would like to get to a place where most of our machines are running with robotic arms and our technicians are there to ensure that everything is up and running correctly. I'd rather promote our team that we have internally and allow them to grow within the company to keep those efficiencies protected and in play versus just constantly hiring people to do, you know, essentially manual labor.
Right, right. And you're going to use Odoo. Do you have a plan for that? Are you going to do this yourself?
No, I won't be doing anything myself. I hire people much smarter than me to do this. but yes, we will use Odoo to do it. So, the way that our system is set up is we use the inventory module and it steps its way through the process of an order. So we start with picking and then into decoration, ready to kit, kitting, and then shipping. So within that decoration space, what happens is Odoo feeds the data in to the machine or to the robotic arm that'll hook into a conveyor of some kind. From there, that's where the arm will be programmed, for lack of a better way of saying it. It'll be programmed to pick up and place pieces where they need to go. But it's all driven by Odoo data because it goes off of first in, first out, right? So it has that, but then we can also go by in-hand date. So if we have a client who is sending something out in December, the inventory is protected because they place the order now. But if we have someone who comes in next month and says, I need it in November, our system will adjust based off of the in-hand date while protecting the inventory. And when I say our system, I mean Odoo.
Oh, wow. How many users do you have in the database?
Most of our company touches it. I would say out of the 51 employees, 52 employees that we have, probably 40 touch
Odoo. Oh, wow. I'm just wondering how many people are in this thing making it work. Good grief. So what, if any, APIs do you use in conjunction with Odoo that you haven't already spoken about?
We're still kind of evaluating what that looks like. We're taking Odoo data. We're using Odoo's API to and this is where I'm going to get kind of outside of my skis here, guys, because I hire people smarter than me for this. We're taking the Odoo data and putting it into a SQL database, for lack of a better way of saying it. And we're going to start using data visualization against our Odoo data.
Ooh,
so
we're big words.
Yeah, we're excited to do so. Again, it's there to reinforce the gamification on the floor. You have this many orders to ship out today. Those are really fields that already exist within our Odoo instance. So pulling that out and being able to visualize that in a meaningful way that allows our team to see what needs to be done for today. That's kind of where we're hooking in. In terms of anything going into Odoo, it's pretty native. We don't have anything set up currently, but again, that's where our machines will step in on the back end going into 24.
Wow. And then besides, you know, robotic arms and the possibility of that, do you plan on doing more modifications or adding any more modules down the road?
Absolutely. I think every day we modify. My team jokes that when Odoo goes down, I've probably been playing in production and I shouldn't have. That studio button is super dangerous for me. But every day we're adding something. We challenge ourselves, instead of working around the systems that we have, how do we change the systems themselves? Mm. That's just our mindset. So if we need data that doesn't exist, we're just going to put it into Odoo. That's okay. Our source of truth for all things fulfillment. So we try to pour as much as we can into that platform. So every day we're making a customization of some kind.
Wow. That is a very scalable situation.
That's why our our dev team that's upgrading us to 16 probably hates us.
Like, oh my God, they added another button.
Correct.
So what would you say is kind of, which this may be a loaded question, your favorite part of Odoo, something that, besides the studio function, clearly, that you kind of take away as your favorite part and would recommend?
It's the visibility, honestly. It's the ability for me to go in at any time and see where things live in the process, how many things live within that process, so that I can easily tell our sales team yes or no to any order. Hint, we never really say no. We always say yes. So we're going to find a way to get to yes. But we're able to do so in a way that just takes seconds. Whereas a few years ago, it would have taken us days to figure out if we could do something. And then it's still kind of a shot in the dark. So I would say the visibility has been the most exciting part of Odoo in terms of what we have access to.
Looking to the future and scaling, what do you think you will build upon to continue to be kind of leading in your industry?
I think continuing with the customizations is going to be key for us. We are still small enough and nimble enough to where we're not afraid of change. We crave it and we embrace it. So as long as we protect that mindset and stay on top of
that core value is maintained, yeah.
Exactly. Then I think we'll be successful. And I think we've got a lot more to come. And I hope that our Odoo looks very different than it does today, 2 years down the road, 5 years down the road, et cetera.
And understood. And when you come into that conversation about a platform, is there any advice you would give to other large companies who are looking to purchase their own ERPs?
How much time do we have?
I guess three main things to kind of come prepared with and to think about when looking at a new system.
I think it's important to understand the ERP that you're talking to. There are a lot out there. What we prefer to look for in a partner is that flexibility, right? Someone who is open and willing to have that conversation versus saying, this is how this runs and we can't really color outside the lines a little bit. Mm. Any new business, especially in 2023, it's going to be relatively creative, or there's going to be something unique about it, especially as we get into the world of AI and what that's going to look like for the next 20 to 50 years. So I think flexibility is probably the biggest piece of that in terms of what people should look for. Second to that is, what else is in your portfolio or your tech stack that's going to play well with the ERP that you're looking at? It helps to have, you know, the back-end development piece of that and making the connections, but the more natively you can integrate with the current systems that you have, the better it'll be.
Right.
And
there's no technical debt. You're not wasting money in the long term.
Of course. Yeah, I think those are probably the two biggest things. I know you said three, but I think that's probably it. Just the flexibility and then making sure that what you currently are working with is going to play well with your new technology.
Right. And we do always say here, right, scalability, usability, correct, flexibility. It makes sense. So do you have any updates that Birdie Box would like to share that you guys are working on or anything that you'd like people to know about?
We always have updates.
Good.
Much to my team's chagrin, we always have updates in terms of what's coming down the pipe. I think our biggest one is our Chicago Experience Center. That opening at the end of September. We're really excited to have that as a go-to space. It is a white-labeled space, which is a first for us. So we work with additional or other distributors in within the promotional products area or the corporate gifting area. And that space is going to allow them to come in and host their clients without having Birdie Box's name attached. We're going to be the fulfillment aspect and that intelligence aspect, but we're going to do that through partnership with some of our key distributors.
Oh, wow. And then how does Odoo come into play with this?
So Odoo is going to be the entire driving force behind why we're able to say yes to those programs, right? So Odoo is the reason we have been able to do the personalization at scale. So those companies who some would say are competitors of us, which we don't view them as such, come to us and use us as the fulfillment arm because we can do that hyper-personalization at scale through Odoo.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you so much for answering my questions.
Thank you.
And coming to Buffalo.
Of course. Thank you. It's great to have.